Romans chapter 5, and I want to begin by reading the first 11 verses.
Amen.
And preach a message tonight entitled The Results of Justification.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement."
Yes, sir.
Last week I outlined for you Romans 3:10 through Romans 4:25. I broke those passages of Scripture into three different categories: the interpretation, which would be the teaching of the Scriptures, which is all men are sinners and in need of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we said that chapter 4 begins a second category, which is the Holy Ghost's illustration of saving faith, the illustration of the truth that was being conveyed previously. And so it says, all men are sinners, therefore all men need to place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saves, not good works. Because all of us have broken God's commandments. And so here's the illustration of that. Abraham, he was saved by faith. And then the Scriptures make an application to that truth and that illustration. That application is found in verse number 23, where it says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." So there's an application made there. Not only was Abraham saved by faith, we too can be saved by faith if we will simply believe the record that God has given to us of his Son, Jesus Christ. But again, tonight's message is around this thought, the results of justification. If you look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, it explains to us what the subject matter was in the previous chapter and or chapters. Because it says, therefore, being justified by faith, and we can conclude from that statement that that was the subject of the previous chapter and or chapters of the book of Romans. It was to demonstrate to us that justification is by faith.
Amen.
And justification is that judicial act of God whereby the sinner is declared righteous. When we get saved, when we get born again, God declares us righteous. And on what basis does he do that? Our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, that has been the first and primary subject of the book of Romans up to this point. Justification is by faith. And now that that has been understood, the Scriptures are going to move on to perhaps another subject. And that subject is the results of our justification. What are the results of being justified, being declared righteous by God because of our faith in Jesus Christ? Well, notice it says in this second phrase, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the first result, the first consequence we see of our salvation. We have peace with God. You know, there are two passages of Scripture in the New Testament that use the phrase peace of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Again, it speaks of the peace of God that we can possess now that we're saved. Colossians 3:15 says something very similar when it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." When you look at these two verses, and you look at the context in which they're found, you understand that it speaks of a state that we can possess now that we're saved. It's talking about a condition that we can possess in, even though we're in a very chaotic world. I mean, because the world around us can be spinning out of control, and I'm using that phrase figuratively, and yet we can be at peace in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of circumstances that are unpleasant and unstable. We can be at peace. That's what those verses talk of. Again, it speaks of a condition that we possess in regards to our circumstances. But that's not what is meant in this passage when it talks of peace. It's not talking about the peace of God. It's talking about peace with God.
Yes.
It doesn't have anything to do with our condition in relationship to our circumstances. It has to do with our condition or our state in regards to God.
Yes.
In other words, is He our enemy, our foe, or is He our friend,
Amen.
Our ally? Well, if we're justified, if God has declared us righteous because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have peace with God, which means we didn't have that before we got saved. We didn't have that before our justification. We were God's enemy. We were God's foe. But when God declares us righteous, He becomes our ally. And I tell you, you don't want to have God as a foe.
Amen.
It's important to have Him as a friend, to have Him as an ally. And according to this passage, if we've been justified, if we've been declared righteous by God because of our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, we have peace with Him. Can you imagine what it would be like if you didn't have, especially young people, peace with your father? Maybe your transgressions, your sins, your disobedience had broken your fellowship, your relationship with your father, your earthly father. Your home wouldn't be a very pleasant environment for you, would it? You would want to do what you could to restore your fellowship with your father. Otherwise, things might not go in your favor. Well, you can imagine what it would be like then for the sinner to be at odds with God, not at peace with Him. Again, if we've been justified, we have peace with God. Notice verse 2 goes on and says, "But whom also," here's something else, there's more. We have peace with God. That's a wonderful thing, but there's more. "By whom also," by whom? The Lord Jesus Christ, "we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." I mean, you know, justification is something that takes place at a certain point in time. Again, it's that judicial act of God, and He declares the sinner righteous. And the sinner finds, discovers the favor of God, the grace of God. But that grace of God doesn't end there.
Amen.
It's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that helps us to maintain our standing before God. And it goes on then and says, "Wherein you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Let me read the whole verse together. "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We often talk about the glory of God. We talk about how that is our sole purpose in life as an individual and as a ministry, is to bring glory to God. Well, the phrase glory of God here is not used in that traditional sense that we use it most of the time. It's referring to something else. It's referring to a hope that we have into the future. A hope of reaping God's glory in eternity. Let me explain by quoting to you a few verses. In Romans chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." These things are all somewhat synonymous with one another. Why do we just keep going and continue to serve God? Because we have a hope that in the future we're going to be rewarded for that. We're going to be honored. We're going to be glorified. It uses the word glory, so I feel like I can use that word glorify. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us."
Amen.
That's the type of hope that's spoken of here. And hope is one of the results of being justified. Because before we got justified, before we got saved and declared righteous by God, we didn't have anything to look forward to in the future. But once you got saved, then you realized that there was something after this life. And because of that, you serve God. Why? Hoping that one day, knowing that one day, you'll be rewarded for it.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Again, I reference these verses because I believe they speak of the same thought, the same subject, as is found in the last part of verse number 2. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the expectation that one day God will reward us for our service.
Right.
So again, what are the results of justification? Peace with God. Hope. Patience is a third result. Notice verse 3. "And not only so," it's just, again, this is, if I could build on this correctly, you could see how impactful that statement is. I mean, sit and think for a couple hours about the fact that you have peace with God. And think, boy, that's wonderful. I just live on that the rest of my life. And then God says, oh wait, there's more than that. Now you've got hope. You don't just have peace with me. You have the expectation that one day when you enter the gates of glory, you're going to be rewarded for everything you did for me down here on the earth. And you're like,
yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Let me chew on that for the next couple of millennials. Well, wait a minute. There's more.
Yes, sir.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Not only do we glory in the expectation, the hope that we have that God is going to reward us, we don't just glory in all the good that God's going to do for us in the future. We glory even at the present time when we have to face trials. And how can we do that? It says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It's the same thought that's found in James 1 in verse 2 when it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations," different types of temptations, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." It is our knowledge of the results of the products of tribulation that causes us to rejoice in the midst of them. And in this passage, it tells us what tribulation produces. What it uses the word worketh, what it brings forth in our life. Notice, again, the last part of verse 3, and then we'll read on. "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Tribulation, the thing that it produces most immediately is patience, which refers to endurance. The ability to persevere, to keep going. That verse I referenced just a moment ago in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, it says, to them who by patient continuance, that word continuance is the same Greek word that's translated patience here. That's what patience means the majority of the times that it's found in the New Testament. It means endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And what does tribulation produce? That is, if we don't allow it to cause us to quit, it produces patience, endurance, toughness. Have any of you ever made a resolution, you know, that you're going to start exercising? Well, you know, if you do that, and you haven't exercised for a while, you might not want to, you know, go jogging for 2 hours the first day. They might find you in the ditch. Because you have to build up an endurance. You know, the first time you go jogging, you need to jog for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. After you've done that for a week, then jog for 30 minutes. After you've done that, then maybe you can jog for 40 minutes. You work yourself up to greater distances and greater speeds. If you're going to lift weights, you don't go into the weight room not having lifted weights, you know, for 2, 5, 10 years. You don't put 300 pounds on the barbell and try to bench press it. You better work yourself up to that type of weight. You know, and as Christians, when we begin to face trials and tribulations, I mean, they overwhelm us early on in our walk with the Lord. But you know what? As the Lord sees us through that trial, the next one doesn't quite seem so big.
Right.
And that probably leads us kind of to the next thing, in patience, experience.
Yes, sir.
The Greek word in the New Testament is also translated proof or trial. I, early on in my walk with the Lord, understood this principle, that we are to rejoice in tribulations, that they work patience. But you know, after I went through some of those tribulations and the Lord saw me through them, then I learned experience. It was more than just knowing about these truths. I experienced. And that experience then, what does it produce? It produces hope. Expectation.
Mm-hmm.
A trial has come your way. God has seen you through it. You've gained knowledge and insight and understanding as a result of it. And it just makes the Bible come all the more to life. And you see that just as the Bible describes life to us is exactly how it is. And so just as the Bible describes the afterlife must be exactly how it is. And the more of these trials you go through, and the more times God sees you through them, the more expectation and hope that you have that one day God's going to reward you for your service. And these things just build on one another. And pretty soon it says hope. It produces a person that is not ashamed.
Yeah.
And hope maketh not ashamed. I like what one Bible teacher said about that phrase. He said, God's promises, and the hopes that God give us will not disappoint you. And I don't know if that's the thought that's being conveyed by that phrase. But I tell you what, me personally, as tribulations come and God helps me to endure them, and I gain that experience and look for the hope of being united with my Savior and Him rewarding me for my efforts, you know what? I've got to a point in my life that doesn't bother me anymore when people think ill of me, when they think me arrogant, ignorant, unlearned, proud because of my stand on biblical truth. I'm not ashamed of biblical truth. And neither should you be. But I can tell you young people, there'll be times in your life where you will stand for what's right and people will hear it and they'll mock you and criticize you for it, and it won't make you feel the best. It makes a lot of people want to quit. Why go through all that? Why not live my life in such a manner to reduce conflict? Well, sometimes we need to not be afraid of conflict.
Yeah.
When conflict comes for standing for the truth. But it'll be hard for you at first. But you know, if you just endure, it will produce wonderful things in your life. And that's why the Bible tells us, not just here, but all over the place, that we can rejoice, that we can count it all joy.
Yeah.
When we fall into diverse temptations, because of what those temptations, those tribulations will produce in our life. It says then in the last part of verse number 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us.
Yeah.
It's shed abroad, it's abundant. The love of God is spread abroad. The Holy Ghost gives us, imparts into us the love of God.
Yeah, right.
Every biblical virtue has its source in the Holy Ghost. Which is why love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things are called the fruit of the Spirit. So again, what are some of the consequences of justification? Peace with God. Hope. Patience. Verse 6 through verse 9explain to us that we're spared God's wrath.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Much more then. Again, just something in addition to the other things that have already been spoken of. We have been spared the wrath of God because of our justification. And that's all the more significant when you look at the verses preceding verse number 9. Verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, we had no ability whatsoever to save ourselves or do anything about our lost condition. We were without strength. We had no power of our own. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You know, you would be much more prone to put your life on the line for someone that was a good person, that was a righteous person. But if you knew they were wicked and ungodly, you might be tempted to not jump in front of a bullet. After all, is your life worth the life of someone like that? It says, for scarcely, verse 7, for a righteous man, one will die, yet preadventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But notice it says that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Again, it speaks of us as being without strength, being ungodly, being unrighteous, and not good.
Right.
It speaks of us as sinners. And God, He commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the condition that we were in. And that speaks of how much He truly loves us. And when we get saved, when we're justified, we are spared His wrath, because that's what we deserve. Being ungodly and unrighteous, being not good, being a sinner, we deserve God's wrath. But when we get justified and He declares us righteous, we're spared the judgment of God. Verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Notice it does say that we were God's enemies.
Yes, sir.
But again, as we made reference in the first point, we're now His friends. And not only so, here's the last additional item that I want to point out. And not only so, we have peace with God. We have hope, we have patience, we have been spared His wrath. But here it says that we have been reconciled. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And the word reconciled is used in the previous verse, atonement, being reconciled.
Amen.
We were at odds with God. We were separated from Him because of our sin. But now He has made us at one.
Yes, sir.
With Him. That's an easy way to understand the word atonement.
Right, preacher. Good job.
God makes us at one.
Amen.
With Him, which again entails before our salvation, we were not at one with Him. We were at odds with Him. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about us being dead in trespasses and sins. It says, in times past we walked according to the prince and the power of the air. It says that we fulfilled the desires of the flesh. We were without Christ. We were aliens. We were strangers. We were individuals who had no hope. It says that we were without God. But then in verse number 13 it says, but now ye who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That speaks of reconciliation. It speaks of atonement. We were separated from God, but because of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He has made us at one.
Amen.
With Him. Again, these are some of the results of justification. We have peace with God. He's no longer our enemy. We have hope. We have something to look forward to. We learn patience, which produces experience, hope, and conviction in our lives. We're spared God's wrath.
Amen.
And we're reconciled or made at one with Him. Believer, this is what you have.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. And sinner, those of you that are here and aren't saved, isn't this what you want?
Sure.
To be at one with God? To have peace with God? To know that everything between you and the Creator of the universe is right? That's what we ought to want.
Amen.
Again, I hope we don't lose sight of the things that we've studied previously as we go through the book of Romans. Chapters 2 and 3 just declare over and over again, Jews are sinners, Gentiles are sinners. Jews are sinners, Gentiles are sinners. Both are condemned. One had the law, one didn't. It didn't make any difference.
Right.
They both had a conscience. They both had creation. God gave them all revelation and they rejected it. They disobeyed His moral law, and as a result they're a sinner, and therefore works cannot save. The only thing that can save is faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Abraham's our wonderful example of that. When we place our faith in God like Abraham did, we are declared righteous. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. If we believe God, it's accounted unto us for righteousness, which means we're justified. After we're justified, we get all this too.
Amen. Amen.
And we're going to continue to build on this. And then once we realize what we have in Christ Jesus being justified by God, it's going to ask the question in chapter number 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because we're going to look next week at how grace abounds in this dispensation and how God's grace is sufficient to cover all of our sins. Yahoo, that's wonderful. So can we just live our lives any old way we want? No.
Amen.
And it's just going to build on everything.
Amen.
That's been taught previously in the book of Romans. But again, tonight, the idea is the results of justification. Do you have peace with God? Are you still at war with Him? If you're still at war with Him, I encourage you to get saved.
Amen.
But if you are saved, then understand all that God has given you in Christ Jesus, because that is meant to motivate us to live a faithful life of service for Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. And God, I pray that You take and use it in our hearts and lives tonight. Help us to see all the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Help us to see all that You bring about in our lives as a result of declaring us righteous.
Yes, sir.
Because of our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there is one here tonight that's not saved, help them to understand the truths that have been taught. May the Spirit of God draw them unto Thyself, that they could be born again.
Amen.
That they too could have peace with You. That they could have hope. That You could produce in their lives patience. That they could be spared from Your wrath. And they could be reconciled at one with You.
Sure.
So God, just bless the message as it went forth. Use it for Thy glory. And use it for the benefit of Thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.